Welcome back to Babbittville Radio. We're brought to you by the California 1020. That's cal1020.com. 10 miles, 20 bands coming up on Sunday, February 15th, 2015. Core Sports, the very best in women's active wear, Challenge Athletes Foundation, and of course you can check out any of our interviews on iTunes on Babbittville Radio. Our next guest, he is the 2010 National Road Race Champion, Mr. Ben King. Ben, how are you?
I'm doing really well.
Hey.
Got back from a little ride in Virginia.
Nice. So you grew up in Virginia?
Yes, sir.
And what were your sports growing up?
In high school, I was on the swim team. I grew up swimming and running indoor track and cross country, but my dad used to race, and as soon as I got on a bike, I absolutely loved it. So I started riding when I was about 13 and really racing seriously when I turned 16, 17.
So it's you went through the whole junior program. You were national junior road race champion 2007 and time trial. So you had success pretty young.
Yeah, I did. I came through some really excellent junior and U23 development programs. USA Cycling national team was a big part of that. I raced for the Hot Tubes junior development team and then moved up to the Trek Livestrong under 23 team, which is now Bissell.
Right. So when you look at 2007, you're junior, and then 2008 under 23 time trial, you were eighth, and then the road race, you're ninth. At that point, were you feeling like, okay, I'm ready to be? Was the goal always to be a professional cyclist?
Kind of. I was in college at the Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
In Blacksburg, here in Virginia, and I was there for 2 years. My first year, I was also racing professionally for Kelly Benefits, which is now Optum Pro Cycling, and I was racing a lot of criteriums, a lot of domestic road races and things like that. But I knew if I wanted to make it to the next level, I needed to get over to Europe. And that's why when I got the offer from Axel Merckx to join his team, I jumped on that and signed a two-year contract and gave myself 2 years to see if I had what it took to make it to the next level and give 100% to cycling, take a break from school, and I haven't looked back.
And the hardest part for a lot of folks when they go over to Europe, it's, you know, the language, the food, everything is so different. You're a young guy heading over to Europe to not just to visit but to live. How hard was that for you?
Absolutely. It's a big adjustment, and I think that's as challenging as the physical demands of the sport for a lot of guys. They get over there, especially if they're starting out on a development team and they're staying in a dirty team house with a bunch of young guys.
Yeah.
They start missing their families and their girlfriends, and they're hearing about their friends at home doing a lot of fun adventures, and they're over there slogging it out, often in crappy weather, just and suffering a lot. And you know, if they're not getting results, it's work. It's hard, and it tests you. And then if you can't go back and relax with your friends after training, you're back in a team house. Doing it the hard way.
What a lot of folks don't understand is how difficult your sport is and how many days a year you guys ride. I mean, when people talk triathlon, I think the top triathletes might race, you know, 10 or a dozen times a year. How many days are you racing a year?
This year I got 85 race days.
85 race days.
85.
And how many, when you're not racing, I mean, are you taking 20 days off a year total in terms of not being on a bike?
Yeah, probably. I probably take about 3 days off a month.
A month.
A lot of those are travel days, you know. But,
right.
You know, and a lot of days are training, but they're just an hour recovery ride. I usually get 4 to 5 real training days a week when I'm not racing. In the heat of the season, peak of the season, when there's a lot of racing going on, a lot of the training is done already. It's just race, recover, race, recover.
Yeah. This is your first time for riding for Garmin Sharp in the Tour.
It is, yeah. It's my first 3-week race ever, and I started out with Team Garmin Sharp in the Tour de France. So
that was the only thing there is. That's the Super Bowl. Talk about that experience. First of all, finding out that you were going to be on the team, Did you know early on, or was it one of those things where you found out later?
They told me in November.
Oh, wow.
That was my goal. So we had our first team get together. Wasn't much of a training camp, but get to know you kind of camp. And they sat down with each rider and talked about a rough kind of outline, gave us some goals for the season. And I couldn't believe it when they told me Tour de France. I was hoping just to get a start in the Giro or the Vuelta just to get my feet wet and get the experience of a Grand Tour, but they threw me off the deep end.
I mean,
Tour de France.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, so I don't know. I made that my goal. There were still 13, 14 guys on the list for 9 spots to race the Tour. And so I knew I had to have a good spring and come out riding well. And I had a really great season. I had good weather most of the spring in the races that I was doing. No crashes, no sickness, so things just went really smoothly and the build up to the Tour. And it was a big honor for the team to select me.
And when did you find out they were selecting you for sure?
Not for sure until about probably 8 or 9 days before the Tour.
Wow.
Yeah. And
that's a little nerve-wracking.
Oh, for sure. And it was actually really funny. I'd just come back from the Tour de Suisse, which was 10 days of racing,
yeah.
And I was taking a day off, and I was at the beach with a friend from Lucca, Italy, where I spend
That's where you base yourself.
Between races, I go back there.
Yeah.
So I was at the beach, and I got a call from Charlie Wagelius, and I felt like I was on a reality show or some kind of elimination challenge. The way he told me, he said, "Hello, Ben. I'm calling about the Tour de France." I was like, "Okay."
Yeah. I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
As you know, the team has been riding very well, and this was a very difficult decision. The directors have had meeting after meeting to select the 9 riders, and it was very tough for us.
Did he go?
So
did he
I'm
go to a?
To let you know.
Yeah,
and then my phone dropped a call.
Oh,
so I was freaking out.
Oh my God! And it goes to commercial.
Exactly.
We'll be right back
when
we do the rose ceremony. We'll be back.
So I called him back in a panic.
Yeah,
like, Charlie, just spit it out that I'm on my.
Am I on it or not? Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing it. So it was pretty funny.
And what was the experience like?
To race the Tour.
Yes.
I was extremely nervous going into it. It was as stressful with as much pressure as everyone had kind of told me to expect there. But just because you know it's going to be stressful doesn't make it any less stressful in the moment. It's hard to kind of prepare for that. Mentally and physically, it was the hardest thing I've ever done, for sure. It was also one of the coolest things.
I bet. What was your role? What did they tell you? Did it change each day?
It kind of did. It there was a big shift after stage 11 when we lost Andrew Talansky.
Yeah.
Before, you know, during the first week, it was everyone for Andrew.
Right.
Because he had, you know, he had ambitions for the overall.
Sure.
And the team was built around him. And so when we lost him, we had to kind of come together, keep the team spirit alive, and try to save our Tour for the sponsors and get a stage win. And it came in overtime, basically, on stage 19 with Ramunas Navardauskas. And it was every day a full team effort to try to get somebody a stage win.
How important is that? I mean, you think about it. If is there's for somebody to get a stage win, it's that's that important for the sponsors.
It is, yeah. I mean, I saw Ramunas recently in the Tour of Alberta, which was one of his first races after his stage win in the Tour de France. He was the first Lithuanian to ever win a Tour stage, and you know, I think when he got home, life had kind of changed for him because he's almost a national celebrity now.
From winning one stage.
From winning one stage in the Tour de France, yeah.
So that's got to resonate with someone, a young guy like yourself, going, oh my God, that guy won one stage and it changed everything for him.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, you see just the bus when you show up to the start at the tour, the number of people all day long lining 130 miles of course.
Right.
People everywhere, and they're rabid. People who don't know anything about cycling watch the Tour de France every year. And even, I said life changed for Ramunas, but even having just raced the Tour and been on TV a little bit with NBC, it gave me a lot of exposure that, I've had a lot more people just recognizing me around, especially locally here in Virginia. A lot more people notice the Tour than they do any other,
sure,
any other race.
Well, it's like in triathlon, it's the Ironman, it's football, it's the Super Bowl. I mean, there's, yep, certain things that people will watch. When you were riding, because some of the spectators have become famous, right? The Devil guy and some of the different guys who were running. Were there times where you're obviously focused on the race, but you're also going, look at that over there. Do you guys in the peloton, do you notice the spectators and how crazy they are?
Yeah, you do a little bit. I think, we appreciate all of the support that we get out on the road. It's fun to see familiar faces. I actually had friends from Virginia and people I knew from the U.S. over there to support me, which was pretty cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah, actually a family friend, when I was 13 years old, shook my hand and told me that when I did the Tour de France, he'd be there. And he promised to be there in an American flag Speedo.
And he was there.
He spared me the Speedo, but he did actually show up, which was pretty special.
That is cool. And did you know he was coming?
Yep, I knew.
That's
cool.
A
few days beforehand.
That is cool.
Yeah, it was.
Were there points during the tour where you were wondering if you could ride, if you could finish this thing?
Yes. Everyone says that. I talked to a lot of tour veterans to kind of prepare myself to know what to expect. And people always said that you'll have a bad day. Sometime around the 10th stage, 11th
sure.
stage. If you push through the rough patch, then you generally come out of it okay, but you have to survive that low point.
It's that same thing for somebody who's doing a 100-mile race, 100-mile running race, going,
right,
I'm at mile 40, I'm not even halfway yet, and I'm a mess.
Yeah, yeah. And so I had to survive a day like that for sure.
What was the most impressive performance you saw during the tour?
From anybody?
Yeah, from anybody.
I think I'll go ahead and give it to Jack Bauer from our team, Team Garmin Sharp. He went off the front with one other rider on a day that everyone expected to be a sprint stage. And this was toward the end of the race when we were getting desperate for a stage win.
Right.
And there were actually a huge storm came through. There were tornadoes touching down very close to the course, and they destroyed a few homes. And we were racing through this stuff.
You're racing through tornadoes.
Yeah, and there's standing water in the road. So often you couldn't even see the curb, the roadside, because there was that much water standing and rushing down the road. And so they were just absolutely miserable, brutal conditions. And Jack's gap came down significantly, and then it started going back out. And we could hear the play-by-play on our race radio, Charlie Wagelius following up front. And, just egging him on, encouraging him, giving him hope, keeping the hope alive. And Jack was caught 50 meters from the finish line after 200 kilometers out front.
Ugh.
All day just flogging himself. And, it was kind of heartbreaking and inspiring at the same time because he went so deep and came so close.
He went for it.
Yeah, yeah. And everyone likes to see that guy who races with his heart on his sleeve get the win. and it usually doesn't work out. But I think it was a good testament to the team spirit that we had all three weeks, all month, just to keep fighting, and never lose hope.
When you guys finally did get that stage win, what was the feeling afterwards on the team?
Relief.
Yeah.
Pride for Amunis, who's one of the nicest guys in the entire peloton, nicest guy you can ever talk to or ever race with. Everyone was just super proud of him, happy for him. And it was a big relief, a big pressure off our shoulders at the very end of the very end of the race.
So you get your first, you go to your first tour and you finish your first tour, which is, that a lot of times people don't finish their first tour. That's a long way to go.
Right.
Afterwards, do you get much time off, or is it right back in the saddle and go to another race?
Yeah, I had no time off. I flew back on Monday.
Yeah.
And was home for 4 days, and then flew out west for the tour of Utah.
Oh my God!
Which was I think it was like 800 miles in 7 days.
Yeah.
Pretty insane. Straight to high altitude.
A little bit of a culture shock, I bet.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, I got altitude sickness immediately when we got there. Basically survived tour of Utah. Had another week off, and I say I just survived tour of Utah, but we won with Tom Danielson, and it was another big team effort because we took the jersey early on. So I spent a lot of time on the front chasing down big breakaways to keep the jersey on Tom's shoulders, and so that was pretty special.
Yeah.
Part of a team win like that. And then week off, tour of Colorado, another 7 days. And then I actually thought that my season was over for the year.
Sure.
And I came home after a sponsor event in Kansas, and I was home for a day, and then I got an email that Tom Hjelte Schlachter had a knee injury that he was nursing, and would I be interested in racing the Tour of Alberta? And so I hopped right back on a plane the next day and flew to Alberta for another 6 day race.
Oh my God.
Yep. So, and then you saw me shortly after.
At the Interbike.
I flew home for 8 hours after the Tour of Alberta and then turned around and flew out to Vegas for Interbike.
You guys are not, people don't realize it. Cyclists are the hardest working guys in the world.
Sometimes it's definitely a job.
I mean,
I feel really lucky to have this job and I love it. I really do. I rode today just for the joy of it.
Are you done for a little bit?
I am. I'm done racing. So I've basically just been riding when I feel like it. I did a big local event this weekend, benefit the Boys and Girls Club, the YMCA.
Yeah.
Fun, but 100 miles nonetheless. So, it's not a walk in the park.
No. What's the best race day you've had?
Best race day?
Yeah. The best day that you look back on it and go, I was on fire that day. Everything I wanted to do, I did.
I don't know. Maybe in the under 23 category in 2010, I had some pretty good days. But I also was the competition level wasn't as deep as it is in the World Tour, so.
But when you're on, you're on. You won National Road Race, and you won the Road Race, and the what else did you?
Do? That year, I had a great run. I was on the podium in seven races in a row.
And you're a national Road Race champion. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that was certainly a special day.
Well, and then you won the National Road Race, and then you won the under 23s.
That's right. Yep. So yeah, I guess I'd go ahead and say that was probably the best day I've had on the bike.
Love that. And so now you're off until when? When do you start training camp and start building up for next year?
I'm waiting to find out when we have our first team camp.
Okay.
October or November, I'm not exactly sure.
So
I'll be down in Tijuana with Guy East and a group of athletes to
build some houses.
Yep, to build some houses in the first week in November.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to that trip.
That'll definitely be a good time. I love the fact that besides spending 8 gazillion hours on a saddle, you're also giving back and building houses. So for next year, have they talked to you at all about, well, you know, obviously you did great at the Tour de France, so you'll be going back, or do you, at some point, do they talk about Vuelta and Giro and what you guys will be doing?
I don't know, actually. I hope and I think the plan will be to go back to the Tour de France. I will need to earn the spot again. It's never a given. You need to be healthy and, you know, have an injury-free spring and, you know, a good showing early on, basically, to earn a spot for the Tour, because that's the race everybody wants to do.
So when you, your season, how much time are you in Europe and how much time are you back in the States?
It's been about half and half, I guess, because I did all the big North American races with California,
yep,
Utah, Colorado, Alberta. And I love doing those races. It's so fun for me to race in America with people that speak English everywhere. you relate a lot more easily to the fans. And I also love seeing the Euros come over here and just be kind of out of their element, because it's just the way we feel over there. You know, they get confused on the, you know, driving and
right,
just, you know, just things that we take for granted. Walmarts and shopping malls, they all want to go to Best Buy and buy home with a bunch of electronics, just suitcases full of shoes and electronics and you name it. So
I remember when those guys, one of the first Tour of California events, and the Euro guys came over here, and they just loved it because the hotels were amazing, and it was just like, oh my God.
It's so true.
Yeah, the hotels over in Europe, you're not necessarily staying in the nicest places.
No, not all the time, yeah. Small beds that don't separate, and you share it with a roommate.
Oh. Oh, really? So you guys are basically sleeping in the same bed?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I don't know if we try to make a wall of pillows or throw one mattress on the floor or whatever, but... yeah, you get used to basically living with a lot of different people.
So at the age of 25, I think you're 25, at the age of 25, yeah, was this the right move, being a professional cyclist? Are you loving it?
Yes. I mean, like we said before, some days it's definitely work. But I think that the good days make it worth it. You don't get a chance to win or get on the podium very often. It's an extremely humbling sport, but the good days are great, and they make it all worth it. I think there's also the camaraderie that we have on the team, especially on Team Garmin-Sharp. There's a lot more young American guys, and we're traveling the world together and
yep,
sharing these experiences, and it's a band of brothers.
It's sort of, you know, the Garmin-Sharp team sort of reminds me of the early 7-Eleven guys. You guys are just sort of traveling the world together and trying to make an impact for the Americans.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
So Garmin-Sharp, and you've been on a number of teams. Is Garmin-Sharp have the most camaraderie of the teams you've been on?
I don't think so necessarily. I got along really well with my teammates on Radio Shack,
yep,
and Trek. And I'm still really good friends with them, which makes racing fun, because now I have twice as many friends that I know on a more personal level in the Peloton. So, that's great. I can ride around and chat with a whole bunch of different people. But there is something to be said for the young American vibe on Team Garmin-Sharp, because the average age is 25. I'm 25. There's more Americans. There's American staff on the Trek team, which is registered as an American team.
Mm-hmm.
I never had a single American staff member, and just had two American teammates who are both older. It's a lot... It's just easier to relate to 25-year-old American,
sure,
guy than a bunch of 38-year-old German and Belgian guys. who are great people, and I really like and respect a lot. I learned a lot from them. I think it was good to start there because there were so many older, experienced guys who set a great example for me.
So do you have confidence we're going to see an American winning the Tour de France in the next number of years?
Oh, I hope so.
Seems like the crop of American cyclists is getting deeper and bigger every year.
Absolutely. The development teams and the way that they've invested in the basically few generations starting. I guess when I turned U23, that was the first year of Axel's development team.
Yeah.
And I think that we're just beginning to see the fruit of that now. You have Taylor Finney, TJ,
yep,
Andrew Talansky, all these guys who've come through USA Cycling. There was the Chipotle 5280 development team, which, you know, Garmin Devo team.
Right.
There was Trek Livestrong, Specialized Cal Giant is still doing a good job. And there's also programs like here in Albemarle County, there are some private schools who are having mountain bike teams and road cycling teams.
Yes.
Miller School of Albemarle is a team right down the road from me. I'm actually going out there tomorrow to help out with a little junior mountain bike skills camp. So it's a blast. And they have basically a professional service course right there. They've got about 10 miles of student-built trails, and the kids are in there building their own bikes.
Love that.
And training together every day after school. It's awesome. It's great to see. And I know that it's going to have an impact on the future of American cycling.
Love it. Hey, Ben, thanks so much for taking time. Congrats on your first Tour de France. That's exciting stuff.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on.
Anytime. Appreciate it. So Ben King has been our guest again. You are listening to Babbittville Radio, and we're brought to you by Cal1020.com. 10 miles, 20 bands, coming up on February 15, 2015. Core Sports, the very best in women's activewear, Challenge Athletes Foundation. Our event's coming up on October 19th. That's our 21st annual. We've raised over $55 million for Challenge Athletes Foundation. And you can check out any of our interviews on iTunes on Babbittville Radio. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.